Blog Talk Radio.
Their numbers up there now.
It's showing on the switchboard. Yeah, for sure.
You don't see Pastor Miles on here?
No numbers at all. Let me go out and come back in. Interesting, always happens on Wednesday. I should have got your phone.
It's still not showing.
We're having trouble. Not in here. Not connected to the server.
Is your phone still connected? I think people can hear us, right?
They can let me hear.
So you want me to do it?
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Since you didn't get kicked off.
Want go down and get my left my I understand that you all can hear us, but we're not seeing you. Pastor Miles, if you are on the line, could you please send me a text or send John a text so we know that you can hear us, and we're going to see if we can, if you all can hear each other. Could you open up 2117 12? Alex sent a message that said that he can hear us.
You're saying no internet connection.
That's what I was saying. Okay, can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. We're all upset. Thank you. I'm so sorry about the issue that we were having with our connection. Sometimes this happens, but like they say, the devil is a lie, and we're going to move on forward with it. I think we're all set now. If you're still having difficulty or you're not able to hear us, please send me or my husband a text message, and we'll see what we can do other than that, I mean, to rectify that. If you're having any problems, I'm going to step aside and let Brother John Clay get back in front of the mic.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God for a wife. My goodness.
Yes.
I'm over here having all kinds of issues, and I had to call her in, the technology person, to kind of undo this, to correct it. But we thank each and every one of you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we do thank you. After this message, if you would like to share it with a friend, you can go into the archives. And the archives is Blog Talk Radio. And then you type in We Can Begin Again, and you can listen to this message and share it with a family or friend. Amen. Let it be a blessing to someone in the family or someone that you know. Right now, we're going to ask Mother Gloria if she would come on and pray. We're going to follow her as she leads us to the throne of grace. We have a number of people that like to lift up in prayer. That's Chris Harper, who is going to have surgery Friday, Tony Hines, Pastor Robinson, we keep him on our list, Amber Ben Haley, the Bradley family out of Texas, Norman Rice, Sean Wilborn, the Hoffs family, Pastor Mixon, we keep her on our prayer list, Corey Hamler. And also we're going to pray for this election that we have been following. If you have been following, we're going to pray for this election and those who are who will be heading as our next president. We have others that may be.
And smooth transition with the election, with the transference of power.
Amen.
And so on, and the communities are safe. I also want to include Sherlene Perkins, Dr. Sam McGrath, Nancy Shaw, Dave Walker, Danielle Thomas, and Don Thomas, and Eric Jones to the list, along with Juliana, Bernice W., and Desi, Akita Thomas, and Christine James.
Amen. Is there anyone else that has someone on their prayer list that you would like to add? If you could just announce their name right now, please, before Mother Gloria takes us in the throne of grace. Just announce their name.
Amen. Renard Brown and Whitman Haggins.
Amen. Is there anyone else? Amen. We're going to move on, and as we go to the throne of grace, Mother Gloria will lead us. Amen. God bless you.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 For the word of God says, fear not, for I am with thee. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we go to the throne of grace tonight, what a privilege to know that you are with us. For all of the names that were called on the prayer list, God, we go to take them to the throne of grace. You said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I will deliver them out of them all. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed the man that trusts in him. God, we come trusting you tonight. We come leaning on you tonight. We come believing, God, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God, we're going through some challenges tonight as we go through the election, God. And the person, God, you know you are sovereign, God, and you are sovereignly in control. God, and we have those of us that have mixed feelings about this election, God, your will is going to be done in the name of Jesus. And God, we want to say thank you, God, because you're in control in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We ask, God, that you would bless this broadcast tonight. Let us come, God, ready to receive seed. Let us come ready to God to give thanks for the God that is in control. Hallelujah. The God that says, oh, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose, God. You are in control, and God, we say thank you. Bless this broadcast tonight. Bless our pastor Miles as he comes for the lesson on Job. Let us have a Job, God, where we believe like Job did in spite of all the things that happened in his life. Job still trusted you, God, and somebody said he got double for his trouble. So, Heavenly Father, bless tonight. Move, God, from city to city, state to state. Move in this election in the mighty name of Jesus. God, let us not get offset by what's going on, but get in the mood of knowing the God that is in control. We thank you tonight that we could call on your name. We thank you tonight that we could pause just for a minute to give thanks, to give praise, God. No matter what it looks like, no matter how it turns around, no matter what goes, God, we pray, God, we're praying for peace in the midst of the transfer, God. That as of however it be in the transfer, whether he's still there or he's removed or however, we pray for a peaceful transition in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Let the people of God come with thinking about who you are. Let us not forget Trump is not in charge.
Come on,
is not in charge, but God, come on. God is in charge. I'm fired up when I think about the goodness of Jesus. Seeing all he's done for all of us, let us concentrate. No matter what your prayer request is tonight, God knows all about your prayer request. He knows about the sick and the afflicted. He knows about them that got issues in their lives. God, he knows all about it. God, bless our pastor Miles as he comes, God, to teach tonight. God, let us receive. Let it fall on good ground. Let us come, God, ready to praise you in the midst of it. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this prayer time. We thank you, God, that we can call on you 24/7. Thank you, God, you're never late and you always show up on time. Show up and show out in every prayer request. Show out in the election. Show out in the White House. Show out in our house. Show out on this broadcast. In the mighty name of Jesus. So, God, we're going to, as I bring this prayer to a close, let us always remember that you said if we ask anything in your name, and we come in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, that name controls the election, that name that controls the White House, that name that controls our house. That name that controls each name that will cross out tonight. You know the intimate details. You know all about it. And tonight, we're going to put our trust in you.
Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus. So God, on that note, I'm going to say, let's say hallelujah anyhow.
Hallelujah.
Because when the praise
hallelujah.
Is on, we can ever get a praise on our lips. If we could ever get thanksgiving in our heart to know the God that is the government is on his shoulder and he's in charge of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, Heavenly Father, bless the service tonight as I bring my prayer to a close. Bless the moderator. Bless Pastor Miles. Bless souls that as we sit around the round table to talk about the goodness of God and all that he's done for all of us. He brought us forth a mighty long way.
Father,
take this prayer down in your storehouse. God, if there's anything in me, God, that would hinder this prayer, I ask you to forgive me. And I say, God, I say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And y'all know, I'm about praise. I'm about giving my God thanks. Let's close this prayer with a hallelujah praise.
Hallelujah.
Thanks for praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We ain't got to worry about what's going on in the election. We ain't got to worry about what's going on in our lives, because if we put our trust in him, he will bring us through. Thank you for bringing us through. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're the highest praise. Because you know what? Can't nobody do us like Jesus.
Nobody.
Thank you,
like Jesus.
Amen and amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mother Gloria, for that powerful prayer. And I pray that all ears were open and all hearts were receptive. Amen, amen. Jeremiah says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. We move on in over into Milford, New Jersey. Pastor Miles, are you there?
Yes, Brother Moderator, I'm here. I'll greet you all in the name that's above every name. That is the name of Jesus. The bread that's in a hungry land, that water that seems to quench every thirst, that name that whenever you just can't know how to pray, just call that name of Jesus. It will calm your spirit.
Yes.
There's nothing like a praying mother.
Amen.
And every time I hear mother pray, something that's just on the inside of me just gets stirred up. Now, for those of you who know me, it don't take much to set me off, especially when it comes to the Word of God. But now, you got me following behind Mother, and I had to hold myself because I'm on fire right about now.
That's all right. That's all right.
Brother Moderator, I'm going to ask something of you that I asked before. I'm going to ask you today, every phone line, if you're able to, whatever noise may be in the background, somebody cough, let it go. If they got running water, let it go.
All right.
If somebody's opening up the door and they say trick or treat, let it go. It's not going to stop nothing on today.
Amen.
Because 3 months ago, I was supposed to come on the line and a lightning thunderstorm came through. And I couldn't get on the phone. But my upbringing, let me get on the telephone and my mama find out. I had to pay for that. So we don't talk on the phone when it's lightning and thunder. That's the way I was raised.
Yes.
And the last time I came before you was about 6 months ago, and I spoke on study time.
Mm.
Well, I'm coming back again with study time part two. This is just to give you nuggets.
Okay.
And I asked Brother Moderator, did you leave the lines open for us to do as you say that we do? We're actually sitting around the table.
Yeah.
And if you feel it in your heart to speak or say amen or interject or put something into the word that we're going to share on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be too much of a preaching style, but I do preach a lot. I catch myself preaching even though I'm supposed to be talking to folks. But what we're going to do is we're going to do this in such a way tonight that it's going to be a Bible study. So if something is laid upon your heart to interject, please do so.
All right.
And if we should happen to go over, Brother Moderator, just send me the bill. I'll cut you the check. No problem. Bible speaks to us in 2 Timothy, the second chapter in verse 15. I said this 6 months ago when I was doing study time part one. See, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you have something to write with and write on, please, that's going to be a very key scripture for us today. Because some of the nuggets that I'm going to share with you on tonight is going to surprise quite a few who's ever listened all over the TV land. One thing that is being said many times, I understand the concept, but it's not biblically accurate. We want to be as close to biblically accurate as we can be. when we go up against the adversary and the devil. I wonder, can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Because when the devil come at you, you ain't got time to be getting your Bible, let me find the scripture. It got to be hidden in your heart.
Yes. Amen.
And the only way it could be hidden in your heart is you got to study.
Yes.
To show yourself approved unto God. Okay. Now, you can trust in the Bible because in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, starting at verse 16, it says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. So you can trust your Bible.
Amen.
I have yet to see the Bible fail, and I don't think I ever will see it fail. Mm-hmm. Because the word will work if you work it. I remember hearing people say, he's an all-time God. And then somebody else follow up with, yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do today is we're going to go over a scripture. I'm not going to say familiar. I'm going to say it's popular.
All right.
Because what's familiar to you may not be familiar to someone who's listened to us for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go over to Job, the first chapter. And this is going to be our foundation scripture where we're going to get some good nuggets on tonight. I pray you have your highlighter, something to write with, something to write on, and the spirit man of it is opened up. Now, I read from the King James Version. We're going to go verses 6 to 12. Then we're going to hang a right, and we're going to go verses 20 to 22.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, what comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for naught? Thou hast made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he has on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Mm-hmm. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. And Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Let's hang a right, go over to verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the earth in worship and said, naked I came out my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, I was raised a Baptist, and I was raised by my pastor. After you read a scripture, some people, you want to give them a theme to let them know what you're going. You already have study time. We're going to study this. We're going to actually study the scripture here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do some connecting of scriptures as well. If mm-hmm. you take a look at verse 8, we see here that God actually, and this is a bad way I'm going to say it, God actually echoed what was in verse 1. If you go back to verse 1 and verse 8 describes Job of how he was. Even though it's God's word, God actually echoed himself. It said he was blameless. That's what that word perfect means. He was upright. He was on the level. He was straight. He was a square-dealing man. He had respect for God. And whenever evil was around, he got away. If you read that first chapter of Job, you'll see that his children liked to party, especially on birthdays. And just mm-hmm. in case, if his children had sinned, he would offer up offerings on their behalf. But how many of you know that bad things happen to good people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about it. Just you know somebody, and something tragic happens to them, and you'd be like, that shouldn't have happened to them. They didn't deserve something like that. Not only mm-hmm. your heart feels that way, but many other hearts feel about that one person. So Job was a good man. So we can say that, you know, why did this happen to Job? God even said that he was perfect and was none like him. Job is considered one of the oldest books in the Bible, and this happened long time ago. And it turns around and says, here it's happened to be maybe the oldest book in the Bible, but this happened to a good man back then. I'm here to let you know, no one's above a hard time when no slew foot's around, mm-hmm. when Satan try to come at you. Mm-hmm. But we have to understand that Job did that which was right. Now let's look at the conversation. God already knew what Job was thinking. The scripture that we read said that there was a time when the sons of God came. They came to him. And here comes the devil with him as well. Because as we know, he was an angel. God says, Satan, what you want? Why are you here? I'm going to and fro. He going to seek him who he can devour. I believe it's John 10:10. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you're actually writing down scriptures, go down and put John 10:10. People are study time. And one thing that I submit that I want you to do after tonight or after this broadcast, and I say this time and time again, do what they did at the Church of Berea. Go back and see if the things that the preacher says thus and so. Research in the scripture. That's in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. See, because we have to study to know this word. Because when we get attacked, like Job got attacked, this word has to be hidden in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be able to come out. Because in a time of battle, sometimes that's all you're going to have is the word of God. Let's look at the story. God said, have you considered my servant Job? And described what he was. And Satan says, listen, he's not fearing you for nothing. You got a hedge around him. You got all this protection around him. Can't nobody get to him. And then you bless everything he has. The blessings that Job had came from God himself. I really want you to get this because I'm going to go somewhere that way. You're going to get some nuggets on this. God gave Job his wealth. Job was not broke. Job was a rich man. He had camels. He had ox. He had female donkeys. which in that time was some serious wealth. The female donkeys produced milk, which had a delicacy. And the camels was basically would be like a trucking company that would take things cross country. Then he had the oxen for the thing to go short distances. So he was good. He could be good in trade, good in commerce. He wasn't a broke man. So what did God say? Watch this. God says to him in verse 12, all that Job has, Satan, is now in your hands. God gave it to Job. He said, everything now that Job has, Satan, is in your hands. It's in your power. Don't put your hand on him. Scripture says that he walked away. Now, when you go from verse 13 to verse 19, we see all of the afflictions that hit Job. Four things happened in one day. The oxen and the asses that he had were taken away. The servants that went over them were slain. Then lightning came from on high. The sheep were gone. And the servants that were tending them, they were consumed. They were destroyed. Then later on, after that, now the camels are gone. So far, these are three things that happened in one day. Scripture tells us, if you were to read it after this here, what happened was before the first man could get it out of his mouth good, here comes Job's second affliction. Before the second affliction could get out the mouth good, here comes the third one. Now, how many times have you had things happen to you back to back to back, and then you say, what can happen next? Here comes the fourth guy.
Amen.
Children were having them a good time. All of a sudden, here come the winds. Took care of the four corners of the house. Now he lost his family. When Job got all of this information, verse 20 turns around and says he ripped his robe. He shaved his head, but then he worshiped God. When you go through all of these afflictions, do you still worship God? Or do you find some other way to deal with it? Now, one of the nuggets that I want to bring to you is something that's actually said at funerals that's not biblically accurate, even though it's here in Scripture, the way it's being brought across. There, you might want to write this down. There is a difference between a true statement and a statement of truth. There's a difference between a true statement and a statement of truth. But where you going with that, preacher? I'm glad you asked that question. For illustration and illustration only, on this broadcast right now, if I was to say and mean it, 1 + 1 = 2. You got that. Now, I would say 1 + 1 = 3. 1 + 1 = 3. And I keep talking 1 + 1 = 3. Now, you know better than that. You know 1 + 1 = 2. But you sharing this broadcast or talking to one of your friends said, you know what? You know, Pastor got on the radio and said 1 + 1 = 3. You just said a true statement. You just said a true statement. Yes, I did say 1 + 1 = 3. I said it. You quoted what I said, so you said a true statement. But when I said 1 + 1 = 3, I did not say a statement of truth. Did you get that meaning? Can I get an amen if you got it?
I got it.
Amen.
I said 1 + 1 = 3. You quoted what I said. You said a true statement. But I did not say a statement of truth. Let's look at what Job said.
Amen.
Job said, naked I came out my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. Watch this now. This is what Job said. The Lord gave, and the Lord's taken away. Let's stop right there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many times have we been at a funeral? And they gave that scripture. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say it so reverently. Say it so holy, so religified. Did the Lord really take it away?
Mm-hmm.
According to verse 12, God said everything you have, Satan, is in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So who actually did the taking? Did God take it or did Satan take it?
The enemy took it away.
See, Satan can't do anything unless he gets God's permission. So we need to think about this, and this is what the Lord has put in my spirit. Why would the Lord give you something and to take it away? Do we think our God is an Indian giver?
Mm-mm.
But let me tell you and show you how we say if we don't use it, the Lord will take it away. If you go over to the Gospel according to Matthew, we're not going to go over that in its entirety. I'm just going to paraphrase it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you how we came up with that. If we go over to the Gospel according to Matthew and we start at verse 14, we talk about the man who gave the talent to the three different men. He gave one 10 talent, he gave one 5 talent, he gave another one 1 talent. Research the scripture, people. Study. It's study time. It's study time. And what happened? The one who had the 10 talents made a profit on it. The one who had the 5 talents, he made a profit on it. But the one who had the 1 talent, what did he do with it?
Buried it.
He took it, dug a hole in the ground, and put it there. Now, my question to you is this.
Wow.
In that scripture, what is that? What is a talent? In Matthew 24, what is a talent? You know what that was? That was money. That was talking about money from a businessman perspective. That was not talking about a gift that God gives you. That was talking about putting something to work. And we say that if you don't use it, God will take it away and you will lose it. That's not what it's in reference to. We have to study and rightly divide the word of truth. Anything that God gives you is meant for you to have. Well, preacher, that sounds good. Can you show me in scripture? Yes, I can. Turn the book of Romans. Turn to Romans, the 11th chapter. When you have the book of Romans, chapter 11, please signify by saying amen. I really want you to go up me every step of the way on this.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I know we got more. I know we got more than three people on this line. Come on. Verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. God is not going to give you something and take it back.
Amen.
You better say it.
If God gave it to you, it's for you to have.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, you can do something with it and mess it up, and you can lose it, but it was not designed for you to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this scripture says when God gives, he doesn't give unto repentance.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't make a mistake. So let's study the word of God.
Oh, Lord, I got it.
So when we speak upon the talents, the 10, the 5, the 1, I submit to you what the Lord has dropped in my spirit. Let us think about again if we want to say if God's going to give it to you, you don't use it, he takes it away. Because I don't know if you could say it going forward and research it again. When God gives you something, he doesn't take it away.
Mm-hmm.
As we go back to Job, God said everything that he has is in your hand. And if you take a look at the second affliction in chapter 2, it comes back from the second one when Satan came back again. And God said you can touch him, but don't take his life. Job had already lost the things that we can consider to be precious, family, material things, wealth, and health. These are the things that we need to actually look upon when things happen to us. Now, I come with many different angles and many different things. That's why I said it's study time. What one person is going to get from this is going to be different than what another person is going to get from it. Brother Moderator, that's why I asked you to open up the line. So that if anyone should happen to receive something on a different angle from the scriptures, there's no right or no wrong. As long as we rightly divide the word of truth, because you can get a different revelation from the same text. Not going to belabor the point. But those are the things that I had to bring to you on tonight. We have to understand what is our God for our moral compass. Are we going to speak God speak, God word, Bible? Or are we going to study so that we can do this? Or are we going to speak and teach out of tradition of what we were taught? I'm done. It's my prayer that heaven will continue to smile upon you, that when you take a look at Job, look at it a different way, and remember, when God gives you something, he doesn't take it back. Brother Moderator's in your hands.
Amen, amen, amen. The mics are open. Are any comments, any questions? All mics are open. Any questions, any comments? All mics open. All you have to do is talk. Amen. We have a lot of people online. I like to think of it as the food was good, and you enjoyed what was on the menu, the Word of God. Any comments?
I pray. Is there anything that was said on tonight to any one of you that make you look at any of the scriptures differently? Well, let me ask you this question. Was there anything that was brought back to your remembrance, or you learned something new on tonight?
I would say that this kind of reinforced the learnings and studying of the Bible and the practical application, as we sometimes we take things for granted. How worse can things get? You know, things can be very bad, God has a purpose for everything, and it's important for us to understand that and maintain our faith and our obedience in God. Don't turn our backs and to try to make a difference. Even as you look at the coronavirus, the election, there are people freaking out and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, these are very profound words that we have to keep in mind in our day-to-day lives.
Amen. Any other comments?
I enjoyed this, Pastor Miles. This was very, very good from the beginning to the into the middle to the end. And what stuck in my mind is when you said God's not an Indian giver, and he's not one that gives and takes back and gives and takes back like the world does. What he does is give us gifts and callings that without repentance. And then when you talked about the talents, oh, man, the talents being the money. You know, back in those days, that was what it was, money. So if you work your gifts, I mean, we've heard that cliche, work your gift, and your gift will work, and then it will make room for you. So as you work in your gift, and your gift produces the talents, then the talent that you have, don't bury that talent. I mean, don't bury those gifts. No, don't bury those talents, because some people can keep everything to themselves. But God don't want you to do that. He wants you to use it and be productive and be wise with what you get after you're working your gift. And your gift.
Amen.
You know, this was good. It got me, because, you know, we do misconstrue with the talent and all that. We do misconstrue it. What you said, this is Bible study. This is study right here. I never thought about it like that. And listening to people, you hear all kinds of things and all kinds of ways. But how you brought it, sir.
Well, now think. Let's look at this.
Tell me.
Joe was a rich man. Okay? Rich man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How did he get to become rich? God gave him what he has, okay?
Mm-hmm.
According to
mm-hmm.
Scripture, God gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, let's think about this. Do you think that there was some gift that God gave Job to give him to produce this wealth that he had? And he was a faithful steward of the
I
gift
believe so.
To get the,
yeah.
To get, yeah, to get the wealth. And then
mm-hmm.
when he lost everything,
mm-hmm.
what happened? He got double.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the double of what he had could be considered his
double.
Come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right.
Mother even prayed double for the trouble. But
yes,
his talent was the gift. I mean, his gift is what God gave him. His gift
right.
produced the talent, which was the wealth to produce
mm-hmm.
even more, which started on the inside. So why would God give you his gift to give you. He gave it to you to be profitable so that you could be a blessing to someone else.
Yes, that's good. And not bury it like that one man did. He buried that one talent he had. And when I thought about you saying that, I thought about this wealth. They always say the wealthiest people are in the graveyard. You know?
Yeah. And see, what happened with the men with the one talent?
And the gifts were buried with them. I mean, the talents, everything was buried with them.
And the one that had the one talent, he gave them a talent according to the gift that was in him.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't even work that one gift.
Yeah. But God didn't take it from him. The man took away the money from him. The man took the money. He didn't take the gift that he had. Because he couldn't take it, because he didn't give it to him. God did.
Amen.
He just didn't have the faith in it to you to do what he should have done.
Yeah.
So you see, there's a difference between the talent in that scripture, meaning money,
ouch,
and the gift of which you're getting, and Satan took it, because God doesn't give until repentance.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is good. This is great.
Any other comments?
Yeah, also I would say, too, the man with the one talent,
wow,
which is what we said was money, he buried it, felt it. That was the safest thing. He was not going to lose it because he held on to it. Now, the others, they went ahead and, did something useful with it and invested it, used it in a wise manner, but it was utilized. The man who buried it, he had it. But anyway, it did not grow. It did not benefit anybody. And so anyway, he was very foolish. So we have to know God's word and then put it in the application, not hide it, but actually put it in the practice.
Yeah. Now, just remember,
he was going to come out ahead by actually still having it, you know, still having money. But anyway, his money didn't grow. It didn't help anybody. He just maintained it, you know.
Yeah, he just maintained it. Now, just remember, for all of you who are listening now, you all have a gift, and your gift is what God gave you. And that gift can be used to produce talents. And I'm saying to produce talents, to produce money, because we all need money to live. But make sure whatever you add to your gift, it's pure, right, blameless, on the level, you have reverence for your gift, and you shun evil. Because scripture teaches us that Job was perfect, upright, feared, and eschewed evil. That equates to whenever you have your gift, make sure it's blameless, straight on the level, you got respect for it, and whenever it comes to your gift, you shun or you get away from evil. True story, I was talking to my boss on yesterday, made a statement towards me, wanted to hit a certain number. Now, I know the gift that God gave me. And the statement was, I want you to hit this number by any means necessary. And I had to stop him right there on the spot. Another coworker was there and there with me. And I said, if it's illegal, immoral, or violates my spiritual principles, I'm not doing it. Because I know the gift that God gave me. I know he's not going to take it from me, but I can just cast it aside.
Amen.
Now, do you really want to do something like that when God gives you something? The Most High thought so much of you to give you that gift. So when that gift seems like it's been taken away from you, it's not. Ain't taken from God. God's not going to take it from you. Once again, Brother Moderator is back in your hands.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Mom, we thank you for serving us, you know, that dish this evening. Psalms talk about taking eat of the Lord because he is good. Amen. And when we take and eat, we are blessed. We are blessed and we can find refuge in him. We thank you for that word. We thank you for that word. I just want to make comment that our times, abilities, or whatever money that we have is not ours. We are just the caretakers. We're not the owners.
That's
and we
good.
Are not supposed to squander or abuse what we have. We are not supposed to squander or abuse what we have. Amen. So I like that word that you've given us this evening. Thank you so much. We thank each and every one of you for tuning in this evening. We'd like to invite you back next week. I believe we'll be in Atlanta. We will be in Atlanta next week. We do.
Okay.
Amen.
Yes, praise
God. Amen. 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 We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Amen. But God loves you most. Amen.
Yes,
make
God
sure that you're safe. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. And do what's necessary so that we can talk again. Amen. Because we truly want to hear from you again. May God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
Face the dawn.